them. Anybody planning on keeping them? Yeah. I'm going to hold on to mine. Let's look at it in Proverbs 7 again. My plan is to hold on to it, just like you would your pistol or shotgun. Proverbs 7, my son, keep my words. Lay them up and lay up my commandments with thee. Verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers. How about that right there? That'd be good enough. Right. Let's go back to John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Anybody like that? I think we're getting weaker, Brother Clark. He it is that loveth me. Right. Oh boy, that's a good deal I got in on. This is great. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. And will manifest myself unto him. Judas saith unto him, not Judas Iscariot, Judas the half-brother of the Lord. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He's going to manifest, make known, show himself to us through his words. That's why we're going to hold on to him. We can't obey him if we haven't hold on to him and we don't know where they're at. And my Father will love me, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He's going to abide with us. He's going to live with us, is what it says. Those that's holding on to his commandment. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. A little bit of review right there. Dear Lord, I pray you'd help us again right now in chapter 15, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first 11 verses you might call fruit bearing. Talking about bearing fruit. This is not getting saved. This is for those that's already saved and going to bear fruit. You have the word fruit down through here 8 times and the word abide 9 times in the first 11 verses. The living vine has one purpose. The branches connect to the vine in unity. In unity. Let's check this out. Let me read verse 1 here. It says, I read letters, the Lord Jesus talking, John chapter 15, I am. Remember, that's one of those Old Testament names for Jehovah. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. One of my favorite verses, we'll go over to Genesis chapter 9 to look at the King James Dictionary. Husbandman, we don't use that word these days. But a lot of times, the first time a word is used in the King James Bible, it doesn't work out in the man-made versions. But in the real Bible, the first time the word is used, God will put a definition right there in that verse, or the verse before it, or the verse after it. Let's look at it in Genesis 9:20. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. What do you reckon a husbandman does? He plants vineyards. Plants something. He's a farmer. He's a farmer. And I back to John 15, I am a true vine, the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Branches depend on the vine for everything. Brother Rick's supposed to depend on the vine for everything. For everything. The true vine is holy. The true vine is perfect. The true vine is genuine. Now, we're not talking about the Jewish religion. We're not talking about a Baptist church. We're talking about Jesus.
Right.
We're talking about Jesus in your heart. We must be related to Him. We must identify with Him. I heard on the grapevine there was a lot of identifying going on over at Fayetteville yesterday. Well, I identify with Him. I'm going to line up with you. I want to line up with Jesus, not Him line up with me. And I identify with Him. He's the branch. We're the vine. There's no freelance maverick Christians out there floating around. We're supposed to be hooked up. I mean, you can get saved anywhere. But then you're supposed to hook up with something. There's no denominational church headquarters on earth. Right. Not in here.
Right.
In here, there's no denominational headquarters on earth.
Right.
Now, man has made some, maybe in different towns. Our headquarters is in heaven.
That's right.
And Jesus is the head. Now, we're not talking about salvation here in these verses. I may have been there for a minute. Verse 2, John 15:2. Every branch in me, that's Jesus. He's the one still talking, red letters. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. We're not talking about salvation now in these first 11 verses. We're talking about fruit bearing. Sometimes Brother Gene will say he doesn't have a purpose. Well, he does. Our purpose is to bear fruit. And fruit bearing is the result of salvation. It's
right.
Not salvation.
Right.
It's the result of it. You don't want to get the cart before the horse. Let's look at a couple of verses about that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, starting in verse 4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, and right there they are, that by these promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, divine nature, that'd be like godly. Want to be godly? Guess what? These precious promises
right.
is going to help us be godly. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that sounds like it's a mouthful right there, but I got a lot of time to work on them. I'll go ahead and work on them, and I won't be unfruitful. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about fruit.
Right.
Fruit. Titus 3. Titus 3:14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful.
Right.
We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about bearing fruit. So we'll be useful after we got saved and not laid up on the shelf. That would be useful. As far as salvation goes, I'm either still in my sin and out of Christ, or born again into Christ. And if I'm in Christ, I need to be fruitful. How does He take away this fruit of unfruitful? Well, like Ananias and Sapphira. If He sees I'm not going to do anything, He might just take me on home before I figured on it, before I planned on it. It might take me home with my eternal security. Right on home. Purging through the Word. And cleansing through the Word. And pruning is how He normally does it. First He'll speak to my heart. He'll whip my heart. And then He'll show me out of His Word. And then He'll do what He needs to. I need to stay close, especially if I'm expecting chastisement. Now, Brother Dennis was telling me just the other day about Tony Hudson getting a whooping. He said his dad had designs on his belt, and he said when he got through with him, he'd tattooed squirrels and all, quail and all kinds of stuff on him. But if you know that's going to happen, instead of getting reaching out there as far as you can where the Father can get a lot of leverage, if you get in close to him, he won't have as much leverage. I highly recommend to stay close. So stay close. It's going to work out real good in the end. Verse number 3, John 15:3. Now you're clean through the word.
Yes.
Well, that now, that means already.
Right.
You already been cleaned up. All we got to do is stay clean. Come in for a foot washing every day.
Right.
We don't get saved again.
Right.
This abiding may be the easiest thing we ever do. We'll see here in a minute. But anyway, the Word of God. Now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Now, that's a great big benefit. I went 20 years and I wasn't clean. I'm not clean half the time now. But this is a big benefit. But that's not all the benefits of the Bible. That's not all. Let's look and see. Also, Ephesians 5:26. We might read it every Sunday. I don't know. I know you know it. But we don't just get clean. The Bible doesn't just clean us. Doesn't just clean us up. Ephesians 5:26. That He might sanctify and cleanse. You say, well, it's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. Sanctify means set apart. Set apart for His service. We've got some bands out there. They're set apart to haul. I'm going to say God's people here. Little bus kids, maybe big bus kids. I was a big bus kid myself. I rode the bus when I was 20 years old, the church bus. And it's not set apart to haul drunks home from the Tractor Bar.
Right.
We might do that with it. I might do that. But haul a drunk home, I might do it, but that's not what it's set apart for.
Right.
That's not the main purpose, not the main plan. To sanctify is to set apart and cleanse. The Word of God will sanctify us and cleanse us. That's not all. Romans 10:17. You can probably quote it. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is the only place I know of you can get faith. You run a little short, you're having a lapse of faith, you get in this book. This is the only place I know you can get your faith increased. Well, maybe through life sometimes. Sometimes God shows us something and we learn to trust Him more. This is the only place I know you can get faith. The only place I know you can get faith increased. Increased. So then faith cometh by hearing, not just hearing any old thing, not by hearing Mayberry or the black and white Westerns, but by hearing the Word of God.
Right.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's not all. 1 Peter 2:2. It's very valuable to have a Bible. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Brother Rogers talked about his garden growing. This will grow us. This will help me to grow. The Word of God has many pluses, many benefits. That's just one of them. Look right up above there in 1 Peter 1:22. What else will the Word of God do? Well, I'm glad you asked. It says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Well, we already talked about that, Brother Rick. No, we talked about cleansing. I think purified is a little bit better than that. I think purified is that's after you boiled it. A bottle of water says purified on it. I don't know if it is or not. But I think after you boil, it's supposed to be purified. That's even cleaner. Purified. This, the Word of God does it. Rick doesn't do it. The church don't do it. The Word of God purifies us. That's not all. Verse 23, right under. Being born again. Let me read it right. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You could leave that out. Those commas are like parentheses. I don't want you to leave it out, but let's read it. This way once. being born again by the Word of God. How did you get in? I'll tell you how you got in. The man of God was there. The Word of God was there. The Spirit of God was there. It's how you got in. It's the same way I got in. The Word of God will save your soul. Not this Word of God. Not putting it up on my head. Not sleeping with it under the pillow. But I open it up and it tells me about Jesus. And then I receive Jesus. And I get saved. Because of the Word of God. No Bible. No salvation. The Word of God is how we get born again. That's not all. James 1:18. Of His own will begat He us. Remind me what begat is. That's born again, isn't it? Birthed. Of His own will birthed He us with the Word of truth. You get born again. You get saved because one of the best things we can do for missionaries is mail them Bibles. Get the Bible, and I learned that Jesus is the Creator. He died on the cross, rose from the dead, buried, death, burial, resurrection, and I can get saved because I have a Bible. The Bible itself doesn't save me, but it shows me the way. Shows me the way. Back to John 15:4-5. Abide in me. I really don't think there's much easier than that right there. The definition for abide is remain where it's found. That's one definition. Yeah. See, you might already be abiding.
Yeah.
I don't abide by up and moving to California. Yeah. You might not have to change anything. Maybe, probably all of you is abiding more than I'm abiding. The first definition for abide is remain where it's found. And then your paper says to do nothing. That's another one of my mistakes. Every day I correct these papers, there's still more. I think I meant to say do nothing different. Maybe you're already abiding. Maybe you're already praying and reading the Bible, coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Maybe you're already abiding. I don't know. It's really pretty easy. Matter of fact, I like abiding. I'm just going to hang around. Just keep doing the same thing. So every once in a while, Kim and I tell the boys, say, now boys, keep doing what you're doing. Couldn't do it very often, but every once in a while, we'd say, keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. And that's all I'm going to say this morning. Just keep doing what you're doing. See, we need to be a Mary. Not necessarily a Martha. Mary sat at His feet. But then when I get up, I could go ahead and be a Martha. We're not saying not to be a Martha. But Mary was abiding. She abided at His feet. Abide means to rest. To dwell. To live, to stay, to continue permanently in the same state, firm and unmovable. If you're already abiding, just keep doing what you're doing. It's not a big deal, really. And it's really pretty easy. And fun. And fun. Let's look at it in 119. You're looking like you don't believe me. Psalm 119:90. Might be the easiest command we ever saw. Abide. Abide. 119:90. It is a New Testament command. Maybe like this. Thy faithfulness is unto all generation. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. It just does the same thing every day. We could do the same. Just abide. Abide. It's pretty simple. Abide. Abide. Verse 6. Well, I didn't finish 4 and 5, did I? 4, I started out. Here we go. Abide in me. Are we still on red letters? New Testament command? Not a suggestion, really. New Testament command. Abide in me and I in you. Hey, guess what? He's going to rest in us. Dwell in us. Stay in us. Hey, I could go ahead and rest in Him. Right. And dwell in Him and stay in Him. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Not a little bit, not some things. Nothing.
Right.
Without him, I can do nothing. I need to abide. I won't bear any fruit, not abiding. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Not abiding is disobedience, and the Lord wants much fruit. Much fruit. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Another one of them prayer promises.
Right.
The key to getting what we want is wanting what he wants.
Right.
If I'm abiding, if I'm like John, I got my head laid on his breast, then I know what he wants. And that's the way I'll be praying. It's the way I need to pray. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. See, the branches need sap. We need hooked up. Sap's mostly water. We've had the water lesson. We need sap. There's no fruit by human effort.
Right.
I can't go and strain and make, I can't grunt and bear fruit. I need to abide. I need to abide. Let's try it in Galatians. Well, somebody woke up. Some of you woke up. That must look pretty good. Let's try Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. This sounds like fun, like ease. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Abide, abide. Then back to John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Let's look at that, Jeremiah 31:3. Constantly abiding in the love. The sap goes up the roots, up the vine, up the branch, and then there's fruit. Jeremiah 31, 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. See, he wooed us to him. He didn't drive us with a bullwhip. He wooed us. And that's the kind of love that he's interested in us continuing in. Let's look at one more, 2 Timothy here, on the continue. Second Timothy 3:14. But continue. Another New Testament command. Continue thou, Rick. in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. See, there's no need of anything new. I need to continue in the one that brought me this far. I need to continue. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. How did you get saved? Someone opened a Bible and told you about the Jesus that wrote the Bible. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Brother Don prays over me every Sunday morning. And this morning he was talking about God breathing on me. That's what that inspiration means, is the breath of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed these words to us. If you believe there's some bad words in there, it'd be like saying you believe God has bad breath. I don't believe He does. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Lawrence of Arabia, from the desert, came with some of his friends and visited Paris. And the guide showed him all the sights of the city. But the thing they were most impressed with were the faucets in the hotel room. And they would stand around, turn them off, and turn them back on. And they were amazed that they could have all the water they wanted, all the water that they needed. When it come time to leave, some of them had got them some wrenches and was going to steal the faucets. And the guide had to take them up in the country there and show them the big lakes at the foot of the Alps that supplied the hotel with water. It wasn't the faucet. It was the lakes that came out of the Alps. And the guy, he had to explain it to them. Well, see, we've got living water abundantly, reserves, reservoirs, and we need the sap. We need the sap. We need the faucets. We need to stay hooked up. We need to abide in Christ. I need sap. I need living water. I need to continue. I need to continue in the Word. It's for fruit bearing, not to get saved. Not to get saved. It's for fruit bearing. Captain bought a pair of unusual canaries he carried around on his ship. They were unusual because they sang at night. He named them Paul and Silas. Okay, back to John now. John 15:10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. That's easy. That's easy. This abiding's the easiest thing we ever bumped into, ever run across. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. We're not talking about the law of Moses. This is a New Testament command. Abide, abide. We don't have to build an ark. You didn't have to bring a calf in this morning. We didn't have to give our son. He already gave his son. All we get to do is abide. Abide. Let's try it in Galatians 3:24. We get to abide. It's a great privilege. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. After Calvary, everything's easy. After Calvary, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Verse 11. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. It sounds to me like he's on my side. It sounds to me like he's for me. He's not against me. These things aren't to hurt me. They're to help me. Joy, celestial. The purpose is joy. Now, sin cancels out joy. All I need to do is abide. Psalm 51:12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David wrote Psalm 51 after he had sinned. And he doesn't ask God to save him again. And he asks him to restore his joy. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, if you've got a song book, if you want to, you can turn to 348 and join in. I've had several requests, but I'm going to sing anyway. Well, maybe I'll spare you and just read it. How about this? There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave.
Yeah.
A peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud,
right.
I've a peace that's come there to stay.
Yeah, good.
Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers, oh so kind, I will never leave thee, Jesus is mine.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, John, man, we better quit. We done run out of time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you abide in us. Thank you that you dwell in us. Thank you that you continue in us. You promise you'll never leave us or forsake us. So God, help me to abide in you. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.